This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist, Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha Eats.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha. Welcome to DeRusha Eats, Episode 6, The Entrepreneurs. Two entrepreneurs in the spotlight today building their restaurant empires. Randy Stanley has two high-end modern steakhouses in the Twin Cities suburbs. He really built a lane that did not exist before. Steakhouses were in the central city. That was it. Randy put one on Lake Minnetonka in an upscale western suburb, and another in a northern suburb called Baltimore, that in the suburb of Roseville, in the outlot of a shopping mall. And people thought both times Randy was crazy. But it turned out Randy was very smart. And Mark Toth, he is building a fast casual chain of restaurants called Urban Wok, based in St. Paul. How does Mark find inspiration? What are the challenges he's faced and overcome? All of that. Great lessons from two really fun entrepreneurs in this episode of DeRusha Eats. Our guest today, what a success story. And he's pumping his arms. Randy Stanley is with us from Six Smith and Wyzetta, Baltimore in Roseville. Randy, it's so good to have you here in studio.
Pleasure to be here, Jason.
Let's get you real close to that microphone.
Good.
Randy's very tall, so we have to raise that mic way
up here for sure.
Randy, what a run it's been since you opened Six Smith. Of course, your career goes way before that.
I hate to say it, but 45 years.
45 years in restaurants.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
What was your first job?
First job was a host at Pronto Ristorante back in the early days.
What was it about hosting that really kind of got your juices going?
The connection with people, I think the energy and the making people's day or dining experience and mixing with all the fun servers and employees, and it was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Fun lifestyle. Very fun.
I think there was certainly a heyday, right, where that front of house action and magic was, I mean, we don't have that today, do we?
Maybe for a good reason, Jason, because there was a lot of drinking going on back in those days.
Some of the magic may have been fueled by...
I'm pretty sure.
Today's HR standards.
Anyone I used to work for, we never drank at work.
No. So you worked at Pronto, and then you had a very long career with Parasole. Right?
Yes, very, very long career. Worked at pretty much all their restaurants, opened several, got to shave on their face. They were, I think... Pete and Phil, I owe everything I have to. They were, at the time, I think, two of the most prolific restaurateurs in the Midwest. Mm. And they taught me everything I know. I owe them a lot.
What do you think was the key to the Parasole? And for people who don't know, Parasole, it's Manny's, it's Salute, it was Chino Latino.
Yep, Good Earth.
Good Earth.
Burger Jones in the day.
Ocean Air.
Yeah, they started Buca. Yeah.
Buca.
Yeah, I mean they were some rare
birds. Does Phil get enough credit today, do you think, for what he did?
I don't think so. Yeah. They've had a good run. Yeah. Both he and Pete had a great life. They're still impactful in the industry. They are winding down, I think, but they've changed the dining scene in the Twin Cities, no question.
You decided to open Six Smith right on Lake Minnetonka in Wyzetta. What year was that?
That was 2014, June 21.
And at the time,
Did people think it was going to work? Did people think you were crazy?
No question. Every day I'd go to work, it was almost it was mortifying. It'd be like 50 people a night would say, "You'll never make it. Nothing's made it here." I was just demoralizing. But, you know,
because it's in a spot at sort of the end of the main drag there.
Other side of town, other side of the tracks.
Which is hilarious because it's really like three blocks.
You know, there's those geographic barriers. You know, once you get past Ben and Jerry's, Wayzata is over.
It's over. But once the road starts to turn a little bit.
Yeah, you might have to wait for a train.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But, in fact, was it a slow start?
It was a very slow start.
I remember you were nervous at the beginning because...
I think scared, you know, what less.
Yeah. It's big. The space is big. How many seats in that place?
Almost 580 in the summer. So we seat about 220 inside and then the rest outside in the summer. So it's built to expand and contract seasonally.
It also had a design element that felt... way more urban than anything, I think, at that time, than anything the suburbs have really seen.
You nailed it. The idea was, you know, I think a lot of people would look at a lakeside restaurant and do a lakeside restaurant, and we took the approach
to do that kind of Nantucket. Like,
yeah,
Cove
exactly.
does so
Cove,
well. It's awesome. It's perfect.
Yeah, but we looked at it, hey, we're a restaurant with a lake attached instead of a lake with a restaurant attached.
Hmm.
So it was a change of mindset.
I feel like that was... If there are a lot of complaints from like the old school Wayzata people Ooh. About what that restaurant looked like, but I was always very drawn to it because I love those kind of.
You were an early adapter.
Yeah,
you and Steph used to come in with some frequency.
Right.
And
it took a while, but once people discovered what do you think? What do you think took a restaurant like that? Because part of why I wanted to have you in is I think what you've done in Wayzata that people thought was crazy. Then you went to the north suburbs, to Roseville.
Yes.
Which, in the outlot of a shopping mall, which I think people thought was even crazier than the Wayzata.
No question. Everyone I know, every iconic restaurateur in the Twin Cities said we're absolutely nuts. But we tend to, we do some demographic work, and we tend to look for underserved markets. And then, like I... Through my career, one of the things I learned was looking at a location and trying to figure out what would work there the best. Sixsmith was probably the most creative concept I've ever. It's a very highly concepted non-concept. And like and you nailed it. Yeah. It's very urban in the suburbs. And that was very uncommon in those in 10 years ago. We had the only mixologist driven cocktail bar in that out in the suburbs. Everything else was downtown. So we were very idealistic. We had all high end, not name brands, but boutique-y small production things. And everyone came in and where's this? Where's that? And 2 days later, we had it all.
Right. This is common, right? Where you really have a vision. You're like, I really want to make this one of the best cocktail bars in town. Yeah. So we're not going to have XYZ.
Well, we do.
You do.
Yeah, because I want to be open for XYZ.
you come at this from the perspective, and our guest today is Randy Stanley, who owns Baldemar and Sixsmith. Did the time at Manny's and at Parasoli help, bring you from a perspective as a businessman, maybe more, not that the culinary isn't important, but sometimes the chefs and the mixologists get a little kind of caught up in the non-business side of it.
Idealistic.
Yeah.
Absolutely no question, Jason. Pete and Phil both gave me way too much autonomy. The only thing they asked for was plausible deniability.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, I got the shave on their face. I did a lot of, they did some consulting work. I opened in collaboration with them almost every concept they ever did. I was always involved in those, that phase. I ran most of them at any given time. A lot of times I was the fixer, if you will. What do they call it? The guy, the wolf. And it taught me a lot. And I was always the person who would work Sunday brunch, close, open, did it all. You know, a lot of, there's a lot of naturals out there, and they're fortunate if they can make it so quickly. I see a lot of younger people breaking through really quick.
Yeah.
I had to do the 10,000 hour thing.
That theory that after 10,000 hours of practice, you get there.
I finally figured it out at 58.
Yeah. Randy Sandley with us. Baltimore and Roseville, Sixsmith and Wayzata. When you opened Baltimore, was that a quicker hit than Sixsmith was?
Well, with the exception of COVID, we had the fortunate experience of opening 4 months before COVID. So, you know, we thought we were going to be toast. You know, we put the name of the company's All In Inc. And guess what that means?
Yeah.
We had everything on the line, houses, Sixsmith, the whole shebang, all in. And then COVID came. We thought we were done. And we got through it all. The government did things right. We did things right. We, you know, kept all as many employees and managers as we could.
Do you think you would have made it without the PPP?
No way. No. Nope.
And did you get restaurant revitalization money,
too? I did.
Too?
I'm a veteran, so I did.
So that helped.
Only at Sixsmith. I didn't qualify at Baltimore. But and it was good. I was very, very fortunate.
But without that, I think some, you know, I will say at the beginning of COVID, I thought at least a third of our restaurants would go under.
We did, too.
And the number of restaurants that went under was almost negligible compared to any normal year. I think it's all because of that federal money.
No question. I mean, we got whole pretty quickly. The big change was when we were allowed to open halfway.
Mm.
At 50%, we knew we could break even and you know, do what we do best, shake hands and kiss butts and being customer facing. And once we were able to do that, we knew that we were going to make it.
Randy Sandley is our guest. Sometimes big bets and big risks pay off, and opening two restaurants in areas that people thought were no way it was going to work, it's been working. We'll talk about big risks when it comes to some kind of big high-profile menu items or promotions that they do at both of these restaurants. Plus, I'll get Randy's top three places that are not his own to eat out at. So we'll do that when DeRussia Eats continues. DeRussia Eats brought to you by Liquor Boy right here on CCO. 423, DeRussia Eats brought to you by Liquor Boy. We're talking with Randy Sandley, Sixsmith in Wayzata, Baltimore in Roseville. Fat Pants Friday.
Ooh.
Was this your idea or someone on your team, or where did this come from?
Well, it was a collaborative effort with my partner and son-in-law, Angel Luna. We were being taken too seriously in the beginning. We thought it was kind of chefy, and we thought, you know,
it's Angel's fault. He's a good chef.
Well, there you go. We'll take don't tell him that.
Right.
Anyway, we were thinking about what we could do, and there was several beers and some wings, and then we came up with this Fat Pants Friday idea and the rules around it, you know, where you have to eat it all there. You can't take anything home, can't share, and there are loose rules.
Yeah.
And then there's always asparagus beer for mom.
Because you need a little.
You got to have your veggies.
Have your veggies.
Yeah, got it.
It's so, like, so Instagrammable, so ridiculous, so gluttonous, but it also, I think, was brilliant in keeping Sixsmith on everyone's mind, where you're like, oh, what's going on this week?
We never thought in a million years it was going to be as powerful and prolific as it is. And to this day, 10 years later, it's just probably the, like you said, most brilliant thing we've ever done.
Baltimore, you just launched this crazy brunch.
Champagner.
So tell me about the Champagner.
The Champagner is a excess and opulence brunch where you go in and you can eat as much as you want, drink as much as you want. It's about $100 a person, plus tip and tax. But there are, you know, 20 some different items, breakfast cocktails, champagne. It's a great opportunity to celebrate life's passages, any events, just it's Saturday. And we do two seatings a day. It took off like a rocket ship.
Which, you know, when people hear the price, $90, you're like, holy moly.
Yeah, it's a holy moly.
But
we deliver, you know.
Yeah.
It's,
is there a lesson there about pricing and what our community is willing to pay if they feel like they're getting their money's worth?
It's all about value, and it has to come in the form of food, service, and atmosphere. If you can hit all three, I think it's priceless.
If you had to put those in order, food, service, atmosphere.
Ooh, depends on what's happening.
Yeah.
I think, you know, right when you walk in the door, it's about atmosphere, but the service starts 5 seconds after that when the host greets you, and then the food comes out 10, 15 minutes later. I think they have to be in sync.
I would disagree. I think food is...
Are we going to argue?
Maybe. I think food is at the bottom of those three for most diners. I think for most diners, it's... Well, I actually would say today, 2023, I would put atmosphere. The kids call it vibes.
True.
I would put that first. I would put service second, close. Yeah. And I would put third, food, and almost a distant third.
Hmm. People take food for granted sometimes. We try to elevate
ours. It's sort of the price of admission. Yeah. You have to have decent food.
But if without the hand shaking and butt kissing, you got a point.
I just think that, and certainly as a member of the food media, like we can obsess about the technique and the ingredients and this and that. And I'll tell you, 90% of the feedback that I get from people about restaurants has to do with the way they were taken
care of. Do you feel special at the end?
Yeah.
Was it worth it? Yeah. Will you go back?
Are there other areas in the Twin Cities that you think would support a, you know, I would loosely describe your restaurants as high-end steakhouses.
Meaty.
They're meaty.
Sixsmith is meaty. Baltimore's
True Steakhouse.
Dead on, yeah.
Are there other areas that you think might be underserved?
We'd love to move. Or not move, but expand. Yeah, we've got our eye on a couple of locations right now. We like Edina. We like Maple Grove. I think Egan's an opportunity. So we look for underserved markets, and then...
And I know people are thinking, underserved? How are these... How is Edina... But I think you're
that
right.
That concept, yeah. Like we... Try to kind of come in, you know, at a certain price point, so we're not duking it out with the eating component of a neighborhood. And then we also look very hard for a special landlord. We need a benevolent landlord that is willing to maybe make a legacy play, and or that understands the intrinsic value that and halo effect that a high end, well run restaurant that's independent and local can contribute to a community.
Pittsburgh Blue in Maple Grove is what convinced me that your concepts were both going to work.
Oh.
Because I thought Pittsburgh Blue was the dumbest thing that I'd ever heard of. You're like, who in Maple Grove is going to spend $45 on a steak when it opened on a Tuesday? And the answer is
everybody.
Everybody. A totally full dining room all the time. And you have sort of a similar scenario.
Very similar. Yeah. Yeah. I have to call the GM out at Pittsburgh Blue, and I used to work with those guys. I can't even get in.
Right? I mean, it's busy.
Same at Baltimore. I have to call the GM. I can't get in.
And you do lunch also.
We do.
Do you do it in both?
Both.
Yeah,
Sixth
you're at both
and
spots.
Baltimore. Very good brunches. I mean, I think.
Which you don't have at as many places post COVID.
No, which is helping us, actually. You know, we as soon as we could go customer facing, we did everything right away as fast as we could. Lunch, brunch, dinner, everything.
Top three places you like to visit that aren't your own.
Okay. Number one, Manny's. Got to put it out there. Opened it.
It's still pretty great.
Worked there for 30 years.
Yeah. I know.
Had to do it. Then I would say Sanju-san.
Oh.
What the heck? Who's got the guts to do Japanese Italian fusion? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It's so good.
It's so good, and it works.
Yep.
And number three, I would say Jester Concepts PS Steak.
Mm.
For a couple of reasons. One, yeah. I think they opened up, and they were doing the more gamey thing, and I thought, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And then they figured it out quick and found ways to continue to be chefy, but at the same time very steaky. They introduced that Denver steak. Unbelievable.
It's really good,
They really nailed
it's
it.
It's a nice restaurant.
Yep.
Yeah.
And cozy.
In a place that had struggled post La Belle Vie.
True.
What was it going to be?
Oh, man. It's forever. It's kind of like Sixsmith. You know, nothing ever made it. And now I think these guys cracked the code.
So fun to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
I really respect what you've done and admire kind of the way you run your restaurants. So congratulations.
And if I can just blow a little smoke your way, the contributions that you've made to the restaurant community. It's been phenomenal. I mean, you've supported restaurants during COVID. Today, your impact on our community has been prolific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Randy Stanley. Go check it out. Oh, people are all texting in where they want you to come. They want you everywhere. Very good. Send real estate ideas to Randy Stanley.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North. Pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
DeRusha Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRusha.
Our guest today is an entrepreneur who has started up, well, I don't know if it was his intention to start up a restaurant chain, but that is what he has done. Urban Wok is based in the Twin Cities and has big ambitions. Mark Toth is with us on DeRusha Eats, the founder and the CEO. Mark, it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon, Jason. Welcome back to Minnesota.
Yes, thank you. After a little trip to Alaska, it was a lot cooler. That's for sure. It's strange to take a summer vacation and go somewhere where it's 58 degrees.
We'll get there soon enough.
I'm in no hurry. Does the weather affect traffic at your restaurants? Urban Wok, the first location, is in St. Paul, but you have five of them now? How many do you have?
Yeah, we have six total. First one was in St. Paul. That was our flagship location, as you know. And then we opened up in St. Louis Park in the West End. And our latest franchise partner opened up in Maple Grove, Arbor Lakes, across from Crispin Green. And then we opened up in Medina, Minnesota, off Highway 55. And we have one location in Atlanta, one in Columbia, South Carolina, and another one opening in Columbia, South Carolina next Friday.
All right. So how did you, well, I asked the weather. Does the weather impact traffic here in the Twin Cities at all?
You know, it depends on the location. For example, like in Lower Town, when it rains, with a lot of people living in condos and around the area, when it rains and DoorDash, you know, kind of picks up big time when it rains.
Crazy.
You know, so,
sure.
But when it's hotter out in the summer, kids are out to camp, it definitely affects the daytime, especially during the summer.
How did you end up opening these restaurants? And I'll have you explain in a minute. I'm sure people can assume what it is with the name Urban Walk. You get sort of the idea of what it is. But how did you end up being a CEO of a restaurant group?
Well, my background was in marketing with General Mills and ConAgra and private equity. I've always been involved in food like you have in the Twin Cities area. Always wanted to open a restaurant chain, not own a restaurant. So I really wanted something to scale that I could really start a business. And that was the tricky part. How do you do that and how do you go about that? So it took some time to come up with the right concept that I thought we could scale. Took some learning, and then here we are today.
What did you reject? What were some of the ideas where you said, nope, we're not going to do that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is really finding something that's efficient, that has the right style of cooking, that you can replicate. If you can't replicate things easily, you reject a lot because there's lots of great food in the Twin Cities that are chef-driven, but I can't replicate that, especially with the staff that we hire. It's got to be easy and convenient. So those were really kind of the barriers to come up with a concept that would deliver on that. Plus, it has to taste good, right?
For sure, right?
You've got to have the flavor profiles.
So I've been to your Urban Walk in Lower Town and then the one here in Maple Grove. And what's impressive to me is, especially as you look to the current environment of labor cost and lack of availability of people to hire, you've figured out a concept that can be pretty lean as far as the number of people. And you still have this customization and freshness and excitement of the food.
Yeah, I mean, I think we really started with technology had to be a part of the concept, right? It had to deliver. It took a while for technology to catch up with the idea that this could possibly work, right, with the kiosk and touchscreen and things like that. So
people, when you go in, you order at a screen.
You order at a screen or you order at your table off a QR code, either way. Or you can order on mobile walking down the street from Lower Town to your restaurant.
Which, that's the move, right? Because then it's ready when you show up.
Right, you show up, pick it up, and you're out the door.
Yeah. And this, the concept, the walk start is you sort of start with, you start with like
a base
of a noodle or a rice.
Yep. You start with a base, noodle, rice, zucchini noodles. Then you start with, pick your veggies. You can pick up to 8 veggies. Then you pick the signature sauces. We have 14 signature sauces that are gluten-free and vegan. And then we have about 5 hot sauces. So you really kind of go. You also pick your protein. So don't forget the protein, unless you don't want the protein. We have a tofu option as well.
Have you found? I mean, do people go for shrimp or for chicken or tofu, or what do people order?
You know what? When you talk about base, probably 70% of the bases will be a rice noodle or like a jasmine rice. Your top veggies are broccoli. You're kind of the ones you already know: broccoli, red onions, snap peas, bean sprouts. Then chicken's about 80% of the proteins that are selected.
80% chicken?
It's crazy. It's about 80%. So it's nuts. And then sauces.
What do you think?
Go ahead. Sorry.
What do you think the chicken deal is? Is there a perception of healthiness with it?
Well, I think there's a perception of healthy for sure, right? With red meat versus shrimp. Perception of healthiness. But my past life in retail, 80% of what's sold in the grocery store is chicken.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
It's very
not surprising, I guess, but it is amazing to me how much people kind of go to the chicken.
It is. We go through a lot of chicken, Jason.
Mark Choth is the CEO of Urban Walk, a restaurant chain that is. Do you like that term chain? Is that all right?
Well, it's kind of funny you say that. We actually call ourselves Unchained.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, we want to make sure that when we open up restaurants, we don't all look the same, right? We want to be that Urban Walk touch. So depending on the neighborhood, we want to have that look and feel a little unchanged so it doesn't look like the same restaurant you go into all over the country. There's nothing wrong with that. We just would like to take a more intimate approach with the neighborhoods that we go into.
How did you end up in Georgia and in Columbia, South Carolina?
It was a business partner of mine in my past life, and he wanted to open up a big restaurant, and he came up here to visit, and he said, I like this concept. So he bought the rights to Atlanta, and it led from there, and We found another partner that owns Subways and Tropical Smoothie Cafes, and she took over the Columbia market.
What is the biggest challenge for you when it comes to locations? Is it rent? Is it the cost structure? Is it the traffic? Like, how do you do an analysis of where you're going to open up?
Well, it's a little bit of balance of all the things you just spoke about. And I also want to make sure there's an element of being urban, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
Right? So you want to have a little bit, you know.
Well, it doesn't get more urban than Medina and Maple Grove.
Right. So it's fun. But it's funny you say that, because I definitely challenged that back then. And I think the pandemic had something to do with this as well. But consumers that I would speak with would say, well, listen, you know, what about downtown Wayzata? That's urban in its own nature.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
You know, people don't want to come downtown. I love downtown. I'm the kind of North Loop and love the whole Minneapolis area. But urban means different things to different people. So I'm trying to be open to that, to your point.
Yeah. I mean, it is the reality. If you look at what every suburb in our area is trying to do, they're trying to create their own version of a walkable downtown. And even in Maple Grove, where you're at, it is, I mean, you're a bike ride from my house, but it is a kind of a downtown-ish type feeling thing.
It took me a while to get over that. I'm with you. It took me a while to get over the urban versus suburban walk. That's what I always say. We're not suburban walk, we're urban walking.
Right. Mark Toth is with us from Urban Walk, a place that I think, and Mark, you know, you and I have run into each other a number of times out at different restaurants in the Twin Cities. Your restaurant group, and I don't know exactly why it is, but for whatever reason, it doesn't get a lot of buzz in the kind of writing, the food writing world or anything like that. What do you think that's about? It might be the timing of when you opened might be part of it, but
well,
I don't know.
Well, I think that's part of it. It's the timing when we opened. We started in 2018, and really the pandemic kind of brought us first, you know, in the forefront because of our technology. That really helped us, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just new, so we're really trying to get the word out, get our brand out there, and trying to, you know, make connections to kind of get more buzz and let people know who we are as a brand and what we offer to consumers.
I know you had a location in kind of the South Minneapolis, like 48th and Chicago area that was going to open. Is that still on track to open, or has that changed?
Nope, it's definitely going to open in the early fall. We definitely were a little off track with a little bit with the pandemic, but also as a historical building. And we were having trouble with the HVAC. So it took about a year to get that approved. Unfortunately, it took a little longer than we thought. But that is on track for like late September, early October.
Is there a difference working with like Minneapolis, St. Paul, suburbs?
Yes. Yes,
A look on your face that says, oh, my gosh, Jason, it's so different.
It's so different. I mean, you know, and they're all different in their own ways. I mean, from the health inspector to the building permits to the length of time to how much the city actually wants to help you. You know, sometimes it just takes an awful long time, but it's very different. But I definitely have learned the landscape, and we've learned the landscape in the Twin Cities and what to expect moving forward.
Mark Toth is our guest. Urban Walk is the concept. How many of these do you envision seeing throughout the country or throughout our market here in the Twin Cities?
Sure. So we're really focusing on the Midwest and the Twin Cities to start with, but also the Southeast. But I envision 300 to 500 of these across the country eventually, focusing purely on the Midwest and Southeast right now. But that's the intent, to duplicate this and take it across the country.
That many. That's cool.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Does it? What keeps you up at night when you think about that expansion?
Growing the company infrastructure with the restaurants, number one. Staffing, people matter. You know, that's a huge issue across the board for all, not just restaurants, retail, you name it, right?
Yeah.
So really making sure we get the right people, that they buy into the concept and they feel like, you know what, this is a place where folks can grow. Those are the main two, I would say. Yeah, the third one would be really, as you build, making sure that things get built on time, because everything has been delayed, and that gets a little stressful for all those involved.
Yeah, you mentioned the HVAC concern in a historic building, but it's also getting the hoods for all of this stuff. You've been in and around food. When we come back, I want to ask you about kind of what the difference is going from working for bigger companies in the food area and then doing your own thing.
Sure.
And we'll also talk about three of your favorite restaurants here in the Twin Cities to go to. Mark Toth is our guest, the CEO of Urban Walk, a bunch of locations here in the Twin Cities with a goal of getting to maybe 300 all around the country. Darusha Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and our friends at Liquor Boy in St. Louis Park, continues in just a minute. All right, I can remember that it is Twins Ticket Tuesday when you hear that sound effect, the Win Twins, kind of the bat crack and all of that. Third caller wins a four-pack of tickets. So you got to hear the sounder. We're giving away tickets for the Twins against the Detroit Tigers here at home. Tuesday, August 15th, 6:40, first pitch. That starts the homestand against Detroit. Every Tuesday, by the way, Dollar a Dog Day at Target Field. So you can catch the game, grab dinner, visit twins.com, or keep listening to us. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock here on CCO. That's us. Mark Toth is the CEO of Urban Walk. He is with us on Darusha Eats today. Mark has seven restaurants open now, franchising. What is it like going from working for General Mills or working for big companies and then starting out this operation on your own?
A lot less meetings. I remember
you're wearing a T-shirt. You don't have to dress up.
That's a funny. I'll give you a quick little story. It's very, very quick. I was having a bad day. I get up early in the morning. It was last summer. I was driving down Shepherd Road. I was really frustrated. I looked in the mirror. I started laughing. I was wearing a T-shirt and flip-flops. I'm like, why am I mad? I get to, you know, work with my team, dictate when I take a meeting. Big difference. So,
anything surprise you in terms of, you know, you guys, part of the deal is people pick a sauce. And I think a lot of times if you never quite know, like, are people going to go for something spicier or more citrus or more curry? What has surprised you?
So really, over the last 4 years, the biggest surprise is the amount of spice level that Minnesotans actually would like now. You always hear about maybe not. They don't want to have something that's too spicy. But we've
ketchup
really changed
our,
right, exactly.
Our peak spice,
exactly.
Right.
But we've changed our spicy peanut sauce four times to make it hotter, spicier. But also, I think the other interesting piece, it's garlic ginger tamari is our number one sauce. And we always get the most complaints on it because it's too salty. I'm like, it's salty by nature. It's soy. We have to educate the
right.
consumer.
Like, soy is a very salty situation.
So it's kind of funny. So we're like, we have 14 other sauces to try.
Yeah. When you put spicy in the name, I sort of expect it to be spicy. You know?
Sure. Yep, we definitely deliver on spice, but we'd also deliver on the flavor. You know, hopefully, that's our goal.
How much of your business is takeout?
Depends by location, but I'd say on average about 50-50.
Yeah.
So between
third
party.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's just changed so much since COVID, right?
That's changed a ton. I never thought I would even entertain third party, and we ended up doing a great job with third party. We deliver in those cartons that we have, and third party has become a big part of our business.
Mark, why are people so willing to spend so much money on third-party delivery? I just can't get over it. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know. But I'm going to drive there and pick it up myself. Like, I'm not paying somebody another $10 to get food to my house.
Convenience, convenience, convenience. It's been that.
Is it generational, you think? Or is this just an overall shift?
I think it's generational. I mean, convenience was a trend when I was back at General Mills.
Yeah.
You know, it was always around convenience. You know, how can we get more convenient snacks into people's hands? Convenience always is a top trend, and it continues to be that way.
Mark Toth is the CEO of Urban Walk. You can find locations in Lower Town, St. Paul, West End of St. Louis Park, Arbor Lakes in Maple Grove, and Medina. Mark, you eat out a lot. You have three favorites that you want to recommend to our audience.
One will not surprise you. That's where we actually met for the first time. Brunson's. I love Brunson's
so
in East St. Paul. It's so good. It's so surprising how good it is. The tuna togarashi and everything's great there, but it's a great restaurant.
It's a bar. It's probably my favorite bar.
I would agree.
Like, more old school bar in the Twin Cities, but the food is phenomenal and great cocktails too.
So that would be number one. Number two would be J.D. Hoyt's.
Ah, yes.
So I can't help that. It's the North Loop. I've been going there since I've owned a place in the North Loop, and it is a fantastic place.
Very consistent, always good, but there's something that feels good about going into Hoyt's.
It feels like a neighborhood inside four walls.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that would be nice. Number two. I had a 3A and a 3B, but I'll
That's
go,
fair. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it? Okay, I'll go 3A will be a new restaurant, about a year old, The Lost Fox, actually, in Lower Town. I don't know if you've been there yet.
I have not been there.
It's a great place. It's a coffee bar. It's got lunch, you know, deli sandwiches, things like that, and it's got dinner service, and again, a craft bar at night, a little like Brunson's, so I think you would like it. You should definitely try it.
All right, cool. Lost Fox.
The Lost Fox in Lower Town.
All right.
And then the last one, 3B, would be Baja House in Wayzata.
Very good.
So,
very
love that spot. It's small, intimate. I love the coastal feel of it. So, another good, great place.
Awesome. Mark, it was so good having you on. I'm very bullish on your concept. I think it's certainly here in Minnesota. It's unique, and it feels good, and the food tastes good, and I think you're onto something. So we're cheering for you to grow and keep it going.
Well, thank you for the support. I really appreciate it, Jason.
Mark Toth, Urban Wok, Urban, WOKUSA.com is the website. Mark Toth, thanks for being with us. And we thank the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy for their support of DeRussia Eats. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY. .com, Jason at odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.